As part of our preparation for Christmas, we have opportunity to model that new breed of humanity that Jesus introduced into the world on the first Christmas when he came. He left his power and his glory and his riches in heaven and came here as a humble baby and then a carpenter to show us the power of surrendering and giving and the joy that comes from such an act. Our text in Romans now describes a primary characteristic of this new person that Jesus came to create in you and me who follow him as he makes this appeal. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Our society is desperately in need of people who will act, who will respond to others as Jesus did when he was here. I have a new crèche scene in my office this year, and I've been looking at it. You are almost forced to. It's right in front of me. And I was noticing how that crèche scene is surrounded with kings bringing gifts, and then Jesus himself, the greatest gift of God. And it occurred to me that everything about Christmas is built around giving. That's basically its message. And then in contrast, I picked up a couple news releases that describes the society into which Christmas comes this year. Forget President Bush's inaugural plea for a kinder and gentler America. Americans aren't about to turn away from a preoccupation with material possessions. Materialism will continue to be one of the primary driving forces in American society. An editor for the San Jose Mercury writes, "For 10 years, this country has been addicted to money. We've been willing to do anything, say anything, give up anything we deem necessary to get our next fix. Unable to feel the despair of the derelict tapping at our restaurant window. Unable to comprehend the emptiness of a life devoted to the pursuit of a $2,000 tennis bracelet when you haven't played tennis in years. But no matter how much we acquire, it isn't enough," says this editor. "We're addicted." Now think about it. Into that kind of society, Jesus sends us, his followers. And I think it's time we think about giving God a gift this Christmas, the one he wants most, that will speak to this disease strangling our culture. Let's consider giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, demonstrating that our faith in Jesus is not something we simply think about and talk about. Our faith and love for Jesus is something we do. We can live transformed lives of self-giving in the midst of a culture that's conforming itself to selfishness. Studying our text, we're going to discover there's a cost to giving such a gift. And I want us to think through the text and see if this year we're willing to pay the cost so we can find the reward, and that is the joy of Jesus Christ himself. First, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice means that we give God authority over our bodies. That's the last thing on earth people in our culture want to do, and that is to submit themselves to God's authority in terms of control of their bodies. When God controls our bodies, he controls everything about us that really matters. Do you know, we both experienced many, many times that love means very little until we put our bodies on the line. Marriage is the act of giving ourselves so totally to another person, we give our bodies. One family in our church gave their bodies in this way. I think it was two Christmas Eves ago. They went to the home of friends whose child was terminally ill, and they gave up their so-called evening of the year so that those parents who had been under such pressure could have some rest. They put their bodies where their love was stated to be. Certain elders in our church make themselves available 24 hours a day to anyone, night or day, who needs prayer. And they will break appointments, if necessary, to meet this commitment. They put their bodies where they say their love is. Some in our church are so caught up right now in helping the poor, it seems that their own lives and professions are being neglected. And yet if you talk to them, and I think of just one doctor particularly, he doesn't feel he's neglecting his profession. He doesn't feel beat up. But by my impression, this guy is going over the edge in terms of joy of being caught up to helping poor people. There are those who continue to share financially behind the scenes, things that most of us never know about. One fellow looked at the restrooms in our church. He said, "This is terrible." So rather than just talk about it, he paid for the remodel of those restrooms we're all enjoying now, down to your right, to get very practical. Teresa Smith gave her 21-month-old daughter part of her liver, we read about in the last few days, so that by this transplant, her daughter's life could be saved. Giving part of her own body was not too high a price for a mother to pay to express her love to her daughter. That's what love does. It doesn't talk. It does. It acts. It gives. It puts our body where our mouth is. Mother Teresa was asked, "What is God's greatest gift to you?" She gave an amazing answer. "God's greatest gift to me are the poor people. When I am with them, I have opportunity to be with Jesus 24 hours a day." I wonder if anyone in this church, if asked, "What is God's greatest gift to you?" would say poor people. Then God himself, when he wanted us to experience his love, what did he do? Shout from heaven, "I love you"? No. He enfleshed himself in a body, and he came and he lived among us in Jesus, someone we could touch and listen to, put our arms around, and know that he was here. He became one of us. And then ultimately, he put his body on the cross so that through his death, we might find life. Coming even further, today, if we're Christians, this place this morning is called the church, the body of Christ. That means we're mandated to go out and do in the world what Jesus would do if he were still here, and he is because he's in us. And the world will know Jesus came at Christmas time if we go out and touch the world with self-giving love as Jesus has touched us. That's what all this is about. That's what the Christmas joy and the lights and the celebration are all about. God loved us so much he gave, and now he's mandated us, empowered by his Spirit, to go and give to others. That's Christmas. Henry Van Dyke wrote a poem entitled "Keeping Christmas." It communicates what happens when we give God authority over our bodies. "Are you willing to forget what you've done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? To own that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you're going to get out of life, but what you're going to give to life? To close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness? Are you willing to stoop down and consider the needs and the desires of little children? To remember the weakness and loneliness of people who are growing old? To stop asking how much your friends love you and ask yourself whether you love them enough? Are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death? And that blessed life which began in Bethlehem 1900 years ago is the image and brightness of eternal love? Well, if you believe that, then you can keep Christmas. And if you can keep it for a day, why not always?" And that's my question to us. Why not always? Every year at Christmas time, God invites us to give as Jesus gives. And you know, Jesus was the most loving, selfless person who ever walked the face of this earth. And that's why people still worship him today and call him God. When we give our bodies as a living sacrifice, when his Spirit so takes over our lives, we cease to be sponges who are soaking up God's blessings. And we seek ways to now live to generously make return for all that God in Jesus Christ has showered upon us. That's what a Christian is, and that's what a Christian does. God's highest purpose for this congregation is that we might become givers. Certainly, it's possible to give without loving. But it's impossible to love without giving. If you fall in love with Jesus, you are going to be motivated to give. You can't help yourself. When you love someone, you just have to give to that person. Jesus said, "He who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it." That's a basic truth, and that's what we're going to discover this Christmas if we give as Jesus gives. Now this year, if you're interested in deeper dimensions of giving, and this is the whole purpose of this sermon, is going to come down to a challenge. I want to make a suggestion that's been working in my life. We give our bodies as a living sacrifice when we search and when we find one person, at least, who's close to us and who needs us. That's when real Christmas begins. It's sort of like the pine tree in Meta's story. Why was it beautiful? Because it was kind of haggard and eaten up by giving its life that others might live. And there's something very beautiful about that, that we all recognize. Remember that wonderful story of Edwin Markham about a cobbler who lived long ago and dearly loved his Lord? At the Christmas season, he dreamed that Christ told him he was going to pay him a personal visit the following day. And early the next morning, he cleaned and polished his small shop and he prepared a fine meal in expectation of his guest. Three times he had visitors that day, but not one of them was his special guest, Jesus. First, a poor beggar came by seeking warmth. And the cobbler allowed him to sit beside his stove. Noting that his shoes were completely worn through, he gave him a brand new pair. Next came an old woman bent under a heavy load, and she was struggling up the street by his shop, wet, weary, and cold. He invited her into the warmth of his shop, and having nothing else to offer, he gave her part of the fine meal that he had prepared for his special guest. As darkness was falling, he became more anxious and impatient in waiting for his overdue visitor. Outside, he saw a lost child, frightened and crying bitterly. And now the poor cobbler was really torn. If he guided this child to its home far on the other side of the city, he would probably miss his Lord's visit. But nevertheless, he left his shop and hurriedly he took the child back home. As the evening wore into night, and still Christ did not come. Finally, in desperation, the cobbler cried out, "Why is it, Lord, that your feet delay? Have you forgotten that this was the day?" And then in the silence, he heard this reply, "Lift up your heart, for I kept my word. Three times I came to your friendly door. Three times my shadow was on your floor. I was the beggar with bruised feet. I was the woman that you gave to eat. I was the child on the homeless street." Because you see, Jesus promised that as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The cobbler illustrates how giving our bodies as a living sacrifice begins with one step that everybody here this morning can take, and that is meeting the needs of the person on your doorstep. This Christmas season, I wanted to keep my message as simple as one point. I invite us to search for someone who needs us. That's Christmas. Search for someone who needs us. Our text tells us that we all have different ministries. Read on there in Romans 12, and you'll find that we all have different gifts, but everyone here, regardless of your age or stage in life, you have a ministry, or God wouldn't have left you here. For you, it might be adopt a family. Or for you, it might be someone in your neighborhood, or on the job, or under your own roof, or someone among your own larger family circle. But I can tell you this, everyone is needed by someone, and someone is waiting for you to touch them this Christmas. And Jesus' love will not be complete until we're obedient and reach out and touch that one person that we've been commissioned to serve. Heard an interesting story just last night. A man was out making deliveries on Adopt-A-Family last year, and he found his person on a street corner. He drove by and he saw this woman, and for some reason he was drawn to her, but he ignored it and drove on by. But he came back and she was still there. And he just boldly got out of the car and he says, "I'm over here giving gifts in your community, and I just have a sense that for some reason you need me, and I want to give you this $100. Whatever your need is, I'm just feeling real called to give it." And at that point, the woman just broke down in tears. And she just said, "I'm being evicted from my apartment this morning. My kids and I have no place to go." And this man's $100 was a step toward keeping her in the apartment. He searched and he found one person waiting for him to care. When we discover that person that God wants us to touch in his name, I can promise you, you will discover the real meaning of Christmas. I promise you that no matter how intense your pain, how bitter you might feel today, if you can take the focus off of yourself and put it on this person Jesus wants you to serve, you're going to find Christmas joy. Because Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so with Paul, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren and sistern, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I want the peninsula to know when we came to church this morning, we didn't just sit and love Jesus, but we became like him. He moved into our hearts. And then we went out in the community and we touched like he would touch if he was walking around the peninsula. And really, he is, because he's in you and he's in me. And I think that's terribly exciting. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, help us to learn the wisdom of the cobbler, that when we want to serve you, we don't look for you in the grandiose happenings, but in those common everyday occurrences where someone knocks on our door in need and we simply respond in the name of Jesus. I pray that you're going to help every individual in this church today to find someone to care for and to fall into the passion of joy that comes when we lose our life for the sake of another. And I pray in that sense, every one of us are going to have a Merry Christmas this year because we found the joy of Christ himself. In his name we pray. Amen.